Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 218, an update on German corporate control over American media. By way of continuity from the last program, 217, an update on Eurofascism, we're going to look at a short excerpt from a book called Unholy Alliance, subtitled A History of Nazi Involvement with the Occult. That book was authored by Peter Levenda, L-E-V-E-N-D-A, published in softcover by Avon Books, copyright 1995. We were talking about Manfred Raeder, the German Nazi terrorist who was subsidized by the German army and who also was hired to lecture to the German Military Officers Academy in 1995. And we're going to hear about Manfred Raeder in the short passage that you're going to hear. Note also the reference here to the Order. That was an American Nazi group that was inspired by the novel The Turner Diaries, authored by William Luther Pierce, the head of the National Alliance, whose publishing arm, National Vanguard Books, published the Turner Diaries, which was also the blueprint for those who did the Oklahoma City bombing as well. Note who helped to finance the Order. Turning to Unholy Alliance by Peter Levenda, we read, the Order was receiving contributions from German, quote, families, unquote, living in South America. This German Nazi, South American Nazi, North American Nazi link is reinforced by stories that German neo-Nazi terrorist Manfred Raeder, for instance, met with Dr. Mengele in Brazil as late as 1978, before coming to the States and meeting with American neo-Nazi groups. And note there the common milieu between the Order and Manfred Raeder. As we've seen in the past, another book published by National Vanguard Books, the same people who published the Turner Diaries, is a book called Serpent's Walk, authored by Randolph D. Calverhall, last name C-A-L-V-E-R-H-A-L-L, which is about a Nazi takeover of the United States in the mid-21st century by the descendants of the SS. And how they do it is described in part on the back cover. Speaking of the SS, their survivors went underground and adopted some of the tactics of their enemy. They began building their economic muscle and buying into the opinion-forming media. And we've read that many times before, and there's a For the Record segment dealing with Serpent's Walk and an update in Program 212. Turning to German corporate control over the American media, and bearing in mind the profound connections between corporate Germany and the Bormann Flight Capital Organization that I've spoken about, the reference to German, quote, families, unquote, subsidizing the Order was no doubt a reference to the Underground Reich and the Bormann Group. Reprising an article that we looked at in For the Record program number 200, this is from the Los Angeles Times of Thursday, February 24th of the year 2000. This is by Robert Marich of the LA Times. It's headlined, German Money Makes Its Mark on Hollywood. Subtitled, Financing. Independent U.S. filmmakers now lean heavily on financial backers in that country. And it reads in part as follows. With some traditional financing sources drying up, producers of big-budget Hollywood independent films are crossing their fingers that a buying boom by German companies won't fizzle anytime soon. Fueled by sky-high valuations for entertainment stocks at home, German companies now contribute up to 15% of the financing for bigger-budget Hollywood independent films, about double their support levels of 5 years ago. And as we saw, that gives them tremendous influence in the industry. A company we've spoken about a great deal, along with the von Holtzbrinck firm, which also has connections to what I call the Underground Reich. But the main firm we've been talking about in terms of German corporate control of American publishing is the Bertelsmann firm. That firm was the number one publisher of books for the SS and Wehrmacht in World War II. Heinrich Mohn, the patron of the firm, was an honorary member of the SS and a member of the Himmlerkreis, the group of industrialists who financed the SS. His son, Reinhard Mohn, a wartime member of the elite Hermann Göring Division, also helped to maneuver Dieter Vogel into the head position as Thyssen AG, a key element in the corporate Germany and very close to the Bormann Flight Capital Organization that I've spoken about so many times in the past. And I would also note that Dirk Bovendam, the official Bertelsmann House historian, blamed World War II on the Jews, and in a book published as, and republished as late as 1993, said that Hitler was blameless for the war and that German Jewish control over the American news media and Franklin Roosevelt and American imperialism were responsible for World War II. That is discussed in a number of past segments dealing with German corporate control over American publishing. Bertelsmann has sold its stake in AOL, America Online, and is using that capital to acquire various properties. We're going to reprise an article that we looked at in For the Record program number 200. This is from the Financial Times of London of March 18th and March 19th of the year 2000. This article is by Bertrand Benoit in Frankfurt and James Harding in London. It's headlined, Bertelsmann Plans Acquisition Strategy. This is subtitled, Media Group Uses Sale Proceeds from AOL Europe Stake to Fund E-Commerce Deals. And it reads in part as follows. Bertelsmann, Europe's largest media group, plans to use the financial resources from yesterday's $6.7 billion to $8.25 billion disposal of its stake in AOL Europe to fund a series of multi-billion dollar content and e-commerce acquisitions. The sale of Bertelsmann's stake in AOL Europe, the internet service provider to its joint venture partner America Online, the U.S. internet giant, was seen as the logical conclusion of the estrangement process sparked by AOL's acquisition of Time Warner, Bertelsmann's rival this year. Skipping down, Mr. Middlehoff is understood to be considering as many as 10 different strategic acquisitions. By the way, Thomas Middlehoff is the head of Bertelsmann. Continuing, Bertelsmann is thought to be looking for possible deals in magazine publishing in the U.S., the book business in Europe, as well as acquisitions in the professional information sector and the music industry. As noted, Bertelsmann has control over American publishing. That control is extended by the von Holtzbrinck firm, and German firms with other European subsidiaries have complete control over American technical publishing. The main firm owned by Bertelsmann is Random House Incorporated, which in the year prior to its acquisition by Bertelsmann had more than double the sales volume of any other English language trade publisher. Bear that in mind, and Bertelsmann was already heavily represented in American publishing. Skipping down in this article, the AOL-Bertelsmann alliance, which has been negotiated alongside the restructuring, ensures that Bertelsmann's content, books, magazines, and music, will be featured prominently on AOL's websites, including the AOL, CompuServe, and Netscape services. So even though Bertelsmann has sold its capital stake in AOL to AOL Europe in order to fund acquisitions, they will still be prominently represented on AOL as well as other net providers. One of the areas in which Bertelsmann's capital is being targeted for enormous expansion is online book sales, this in keeping with the expansion of German corporate control over American publishing. We're going to look now at the Financial Times of London of Thursday, March 23rd of the year 2000. This is an article by William Hall in Zurich. It's headlined, Bertelsmann Lays Out BOL.com Plans. The article reads in part as follows. BOL.com, the online bookstore of German publishing giant Bertelsmann, is confident that its forthcoming initial public offering will give it the financial muscle to overtake Amazon.com as Europe's biggest internet book retailer. BOL started in Germany in February of 1999 and has operations in 13 countries. Although BOL has not released any revenue figures, Heinz Wermelinger, W-E-R-M-E-L-I-N-G-E-R, BOL's chief executive, claims that his company is number two in Europe after Amazon, the U.S.-backed internet retailer. The IPO will, quote, put us in a position to accelerate the establishment of BOL as number one in international media e-commerce, unquote, says Mr. Wermelinger, a Swiss citizen and former chief executive of AOL Europe. Skipping down, Amazon remains the clear market leader in the U.S., where Bertelsmann's joint venture with Barnes & Noble is number two. However, Mr. Wermelinger says his company will soon overtake Amazon in the rest of the world. It remains to be seen how accurate that particular prediction is, but I would note that BarnesandNoble.com, of course, is 50% owned by Bertelsmann. And if, in fact, this prediction is correct, and if the BOL, Bertelsmann's online book sales, does overtake Amazon and the rest of the world, that will, of course, put Bertelsmann number one in the rest of the world, and BarnesandNoble.com, 50% owned by Bertelsmann, number two in the U.S. If, in fact, there's an economic downturn, it remains to be seen if Amazon goes the route of a great many other e-companies and ultimately is available for takeover. Amazon, from what I hear, is one of the healthier of the e-commerce firms, but it certainly remains to be seen what happens. Speaking of online book sales, this is a disquieting element that appeared in the San Jose Mercury News of Thursday, March 30th of the year 2000. On the front page of the business section, we find the following article by Christy Heim, H-E-I-M. It's headlined, "Disputed Work Gets Disclaimer by Booksellers." It reads in part as follows. Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com on Wednesday took the unprecedented step of posting a disclaimer from the Anti-Defamation League that criticizes a book they are selling as an anti-Semitic forgery and tool of hate groups. The book, The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, is believed by many historians to be a document forged by Russia's secret police in the 19th century to provoke anti-Semitic sentiment. It claims to reveal a Jewish conspiracy to take over the world. Well, The Protocols of the Elders of Zion has been a mainstay of anti-Semitic thinkers. It was a primary influence on Hitler, originally a French satirical document authored by Maurice Joly entitled Dialogue en Enfer entre Montesquieu et Machiavelli and a satire of Napoleon IV's government in the mid-19th century. It was then updated by the Tsarist secret police, the Okhrana, and altered to portray a Jewish conspiracy to take over the world. There is a book about that called Warrant for Genocide, about the role of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion in traditional anti-Semitism and in laying the groundwork for the Holocaust. Note that BarnesandNoble.com is one of the companies that is selling the Protocols, that 50% owned by Bertelsmann. And speaking of some of the acquisitions by Bertelsmann, now note in the Financial Times of London article of March 18th and 19th that we looked at, its sale of its stake in AOL Europe basically put it in a position to make other acquisitions. And as we looked at in Program 194, Bertelsmann is already number two worldwide in magazine publishing, in addition to its many other acquisitions. Bertelsmann stole something of a march in terms of publishing books online this past week. We're reading now from the Wall Street Journal of Monday, April 3rd of the year 2000. This is an article by Matthew Rose. It's Dateline New York and headlined, Bertelsmann's Random House in talks to buy up to 49% of online publisher. This reads in part as follows. Although small in dollar terms, the Random House move is likely to galvanize the fledgling world of e-publishing. The world's largest English-language book publisher, owned by Germany's Bertelsmann AG, is one of the first major publishers to bet real money on this new generation of book companies, aiming to cooperate rather than compete with their cyberspace business models. The acquisition will be made through Random House's newly formed Random House Ventures LLC, a wholly-owned subsidiary that invests in technology companies. Last week, Richard Sarnoff, Random House's chief financial officer, was appointed president of the venture unit. And skipping down in this article, according to people familiar with the company's thinking, Random House was interested in taking a stake in Zlibris to get access to the market for books that will sell less than 1,000 copies, a level not normally profitable for a mainstream publisher. In addition, Random House wanted to develop a closer relationship with Zlibris in order to tap its expertise. Random House has already embarked on a multi-million dollar program to digitalize its backlist of titles in order to allow them to be more easily distributed electronically. For its part, Zlibris will be boosted by Random House's seal of approval. The company will continue to run as an independent operation. Now note the following. Its main competitor, iUniverse.com Incorporated, sold a 49% stake to BarnesandNoble.com, Barnes & Noble Incorporated, in November. BarnesandNoble.com, of course, is 50% owned by Bertelsmann, and that certainly gives Bertelsmann some say in what Barnes & Noble ends up doing. Bertelsmann also stole a march, although it was soon followed by other companies this past week, in terms of being the first major record company, and Bertelsmann is number four in music the music business, to begin putting music online. The following article comes from the Wall Street Journal of Friday, April 7th of the year 2000. This is an article by Martin Piers at Stateline, New York, and headlined, Sony Music and BMG Entertainment plan to start selling digital music on web. It reads in part as follows. Sony Music Entertainment and BMG Entertainment plan to start selling digital music on the web in the next couple of months, moving the record industry one step closer to combating web music piracy with its own digital downloads. Sony Music, a unit of Sony Corporation, will announce Monday it plans to offer digital downloads at the end of this month, according to people close to the company, allowing customers to download a computer file of music onto their personal computers rather than buying a compact disc or cassette. Skipping down, BMG, a unit of Bertelsmann AG, said yesterday it would begin sales of singles in early to mid-June. BMG didn't disclose how much music it will offer initially or at what price, but said it would partner with a number of software and technology service companies, including International Business Machines Corporation, Microsoft Corporation, Liquid Audio Incorporated, and Reciprocal Incorporated, to make digital downloading a reality. So note again, in terms of online business, in a joint partnership with Sony, BMG has begun to publish, to make music available, to make albums, what we used to call albums, available online. This in an attempt to combat the pirating of CDs, newly issued CDs, online. And Bertelsmann is by no means restricting its activities to music publishing and to book publishing. And we're going to take a look now at yet another venture that Bertelsmann launched in just this past week. We should note that worldwide there is a huge pattern of economic concentration. It's very au courant. As I speak, in the spring of the year 2000, one could perhaps call this trend concentration camp. Under the circumstances, media concentration and concentration of other corporate entities is very much the going consideration. And that is very bad in and of itself. And the thought that companies associated with the Underground Reich and the Bormann Group, as Bertelsmann and von Holtzbrinck appear to be, co-opting a significant portion of that market is even more unnerving. It's a choice between real, real bad and much, much worse. The Los Angeles Times of Saturday, April 8th of the year 2000, had the following story from the AP. This is Dateline London. It's headlined, Two European Broadcasters Plan Merger with Eye on U.S. Market. Again, this is Dateline London, and it reads in part as follows. By seeking to create the largest television company in Europe, British media group Pearson and regional broadcaster CLT UFA are also laying the groundwork to bid for a bigger slice of the U.S. TV market. Pearson, publisher of the Financial Times newspaper and The Economist magazine, and CLT UFA announced plans Friday to merge their television operations. The combined company, which would be worth an estimated $19.2 billion and have annual revenue of about $3.6 billion, would have the broadest reach of any TV or radio broadcaster in Europe. But the ambitions of its executives appear to extend across the Atlantic. Quote, they claim they're keen to get into the American market, unquote, said Louise Barton of brokerage Investec Henderson Crosthwaite. CLT UFA is owned jointly by German media powerhouse Bertelsmann and a Luxembourg-based holding company, Audiofina. Belgium's group Bruxelles Lambert has a 72% stake in Audiofina. These last two sentences again. CLT UFA is jointly owned by German media powerhouse Bertelsmann and a Luxembourg-based holding company, Audiofina. Belgium's group Bruxelles Lambert has a 72% stake in Audiofina. So note that there's now a joint venture between Pearson, a British company, and Bertelsmann, or a company jointly owned by Bertelsmann and a Luxembourg-based holding company, Audiofina, in order to create what will be the largest TV company in Europe, and they are eyeing acquisitions in the U.S. media market. Now, note that a Luxembourg-based holding company with large voting rights held by a Belgian company, is the joint owner of CLT UFA with Bertelsmann. This strongly suggests, again, the participation of the Bormann organization, about which we've spoken so many times in the past, the economic component of the Underground Reich. And we're going to turn once again to the definitive work, really the only work, about the Bormann Flight Capital Group. This book is entitled Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, authored in hardcover by Paul Manning, and published by, actually authored by Paul Manning and published in hardcover by Lyle Stewart Incorporated, copyright 1981. Paul Manning was part of the CBS News team that covered World War II in Europe, along with Edward R. Murrow, flew combat missions in B-17s and B-29s as a nose gunner in order to cover the air war in Europe and the Pacific, respectively, and ultimately broadcast the surrenders of both Japan and Germany on the CBS radio network, and suffered mightily in his efforts to expose the Bormann Flight Capital Organization. Now, first of all, about holding companies and the role that holding companies play in the Bormann Organization, we read in Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, "A holding company may not trade in any form. It may only hold stock in other companies, but through this device, the existing German firms and the 750 new corporations established under the Bormann program gave themselves absolute control over a post-war economic network of viable, prosperous companies that stretched from the Ruhr to the neutrals of Europe and to the countries of South America. A control that continues today and is easily maintained through the bearer bonds or shares issued by these corporations to cloak real ownership. Bearer shares require no registration of identity, for such shares are exactly what they mean. The bearer of the majority shares controls the company without needing a vestige of proof as to how he acquired them. Thus, the Germans who participated as a silent force in Bormann's post-war commercial campaign, which is sometimes referred to by aging Nazis as Operation Eagle's Flight or Aktion Adlerflug, ensured their command over the industrial and financial institutions that were to move the new Federal Republic of Germany back into the forefront of world economic leadership." Note again the role of a Luxembourg-based holding company, Audiofina, with 72% of the voting rights held by a Brussels company, Groupe Bruxelles-Lambert. The role of Luxembourg in the Bormann Flight Capital Program is described as follows in Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile. "Of the investigation of the complex relationship between German industry and Luxembourg and their use of Luxembourg as a front, we read, Albert D. Thomas of Utah, when he was chairman of the U.S. Senate Subcommittee on Military Affairs, commented in Washington on June 26, 1945, "We had a mission in Luxembourg which was obtaining quite a bit of information on the steel cartel until Grand Duchess Charlotte returned. Information was then blocked off from us, and the mission had to retire with what information they had already collected. There was much to learn about the way in which small states like Luxembourg had been used by the German cartels. The episode suggests that some rulers whom we have befriended may be expected to assist the German cartelists in their post-war efforts to regain dominance." And then Manning goes on to write, "What the Grand Duchess Charlotte of Luxembourg learned from her finance minister on her return to Luxembourg was simple, quote, 'Don't tamper with the money machine. We made record profits during the German era, and there is every indication we will be going into an even greater period of prosperity once Germany recovers. They will then continue to be our biggest customer. All that is required now is a readjustment in stock ownership to please Belgian, French, British, and American shareholders, which will be done," unquote. Open German stock ownership was reduced to its former position of about 20% in Luxembourg industry, and the German trustee was eliminated. But at board meetings, Belgian and French banks voted as blocks on behalf of stockholders in Germany. The German voice in the wings was still there, and as time went on in Luxembourg, increasingly the voice could be heard loud and clear, the customer speaking to the seller, the equalizer of the marketplace." So note again the joint Bertelsmann and Audiofina ownership of the CLT UFA company, and note in turn that Audiofina is a Luxembourg-based holding company with 72% voting rights by Groupe Bruxelles-Lambert of Belgium, sounding very, very much like a Bormann property, and bearing in mind the almost certain affiliation between Bertelsmann and the Bormann Group and the Underground Reich. In For the Record program number 177, we took a look at the Bertelsmann Foundation's receipt of an award from the ADL, which I thought was quite remarkable, and so did the publishers, the authors, I should say, of an article in The Nation magazine. The Bertelsmann Foundation is a huge nonprofit organization run by the Bertelsmann firm, and let's just say the ADL's awarding of the Bertelsmann Foundation is quite remarkable. I would note that the only Jewish organization that's ever responded to my work was the ADL, which investigated me in the early 90s as part of the ADL spying scandal, which, again, is not a particularly good recommendation for that organization. Oh, well. Of the Bertelsmann Foundation, again, a huge nonprofit that is run by Bertelsmann and which wields considerable influence in the world of education and culture, check out the following. This is an ad from the New York Times of Sunday, April 2nd of the year 2000. In the classified section in Careers in Education, there is the following ad for the Bertelsmann Foundation. It begins, "The Bertelsmann Foundation's New York-based operation, specializing in the areas of media and education, literacy, and furthering creativity in the fields of music and literature, is actively recruiting experienced professionals." As noted, the Bertelsmann House historian Dirk Babendam, in a book republished as recently as 1993, blamed World War II on the U.S. and Roosevelt and said that American imperialism and Jewish control over the American media was responsible for World War II and that Hitler was blameless. That certainly is creative, if nothing else, and would perhaps classify as creative literature. More about this particular ad, we read, "Executive Director. The Executive Director is responsible for the overall supervision of the Foundation's projects in New York. Responsibilities include managing budgets for a variety of projects, supervising existing projects, initiating new projects, and representing the Foundation to agencies in the nonprofit sector. The Executive Director acts as a liaison between the Foundation's German headquarters in the New York arena and directs public relations efforts in the USA. Associate Director position reads, "The Associate Director has significant experience in middle and high school as a teacher and as an advisor to students," and then talks about the background required for the Executive Director. And then we find the following, "Program Associate. The program associate is charged with planning and managing all aspects of the Bertelsmann Partnership for Education program," and then talks about the qualifications for that position or required for that position. And also program associate, another position that's open. "The program associate is mandated with launching and coordinating all aspects of an award program to recognize and honor educators who have utilized new media and technology in effective and creative ways in their classroom." So the Bertelsmann Foundation making its weight felt in the world of education as well. That concludes For the Record program number 218, Update on German Corporate Control over the American Media. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.